This is July 31st, 2019, Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and this is our Wednesday version of You Got Questions, We've Got Answers, but it's not me that has the answers. It's these guys on the other side that we've been talking to for years, and let's see, would you like to say your name and your city?
It's Valerie from Livermore.
Valerie, nice to hear you. We haven't heard you for a while.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi.
And who else? Michael Adler, I got your question tonight.
Hey, Michael.
Let's see here.
Thank you.
Hey, Michael.
Greetings.
Now,
Michael.
Hey, Vin, you heard a suggestion for the name of this call from the Elohim, right?
What was that?
Questions and answers with the Elohim.
Did they say, but it's really Ra'an.
Well, Ra'an is the verbal part, but it is the Elohim is behind Ra'an, to my understanding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Antonio.
Welcome, Terry. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hello.
Your new phone sounds good.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
It sounds better, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does she sound better than me?
But you have the crackle going on again.
Yeah.
A little bit closer to your mic.
There we go. I got rid of the crackle.
That's great.
Good. Prudy winces every time it crackles.
Hey, Phyllis just snuck in from Squim.
Hello, Phyllis. Welcome.
Hi, Phyllis.
Hi.
Hi, Phyllis.
Oh, Phyllis. You're now one of us. You know how I can tell?
How?
You're sneaky.
I'll do anything I can to join this group as often as I can.
Awesome.
Mm.
Thank you.
And it's always good to have you.
Thank you very much.
How many people live in Squim?
About 6,000.
Yeah.
It's about
12 hours. I like that nice little small town.
Yeah.
The place to be.
Squim is the name of your city, Phyllis?
Yes, it's spelled Sequim, like Sequim. Pronounced Squim.
Pretty
Squim.
It's at the very top of the Olympic Peninsula in Washington, west of Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, they're gorgeous.
Yeah, Lauren is 2 hours west of me in Forks,
mm-hmm.
which is the rainiest
Forks.
Place in the United States.
So we have Squim and Forks, right?
Yes.
Squim and Forks.
Yeah.
I think they'd have... We should have spoons.
When Prudy said you were from Squim, I thought she said Phyllis came in from swimming.
You're confused with Debbie.
Debbie Dalton.
Okay.
Oh, I'm here.
Hi, Debbie.
Hello.
Dr. Art from Hanson, Virginia. I'm here.
Hi,
welcome,
Dr.
Art.
Hi, Dr. Art.
Hi, Dr. Art.
And also a warm welcome to all those that are listening in through BBS Radio. Thank you for being here tonight.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone on BBS.
Hola.
If anyone listening on BBS wants to ask a question, feel free to do so. Don, I don't see your question.
Yeah.
What did
of
you send it
for
on?
Those on BBS?
It's kind of questions.
If you want to submit a question, you can do so per email at questions@intelligent-infinity.com. Questions@intelligent-infinity.com.
I have a question. Has the email address changed? Because I've asked many questions and no response.
Is that Valerie?
Yes.
Yeah, well, no, it hasn't changed. You know what? When we get a whole bunch of questions, which we don't have tonight, okay? Let me see. Did you put a question in tonight?
Yeah, but otherwise, I put in like the last 5 weeks or whatever, and you told me to ask it again, so I did it again and again and again, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess you're busy. Whatever.
No, it's not that I'm busy. Let me just see if you're. Did you send the question in just now?
Well, I sent a different one in tonight, yes.
Okay, because I don't see a question. I'm not sure I see a question from you yet.
Let me see if I can resend the original question. That'd be nice, you know?
You want to just tell me what it is?
Welcome, Edna.
Oh, Edna. Hi. Sorry. Yes, hi.
Hey, Edna. Hi.
Valerie, are you looking up your question?
Yes. Go ahead. Yeah, I'll find it. Yeah.
Because I'm going to mute the calls in a moment. You know?
I know.
Don, what is your question?
I'm trying to resubmit it here. I was asking how we can discern the high-frequency communications from the sources, from the frequencies that are reflected off our surroundings, the 3D.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how I would answer that.
All right. People are dropping out, including the three men in Sedona.
Oh, Winfrey drops out?
Yes.
Oh.
You might want to tell him, yeah, in case he doesn't realize.
Oh, I'll go in the other room and tell him.
Okay. How do people drop out? Do they just lose their signal on their cell?
Yes, uh-huh. Vin is back already. Terry?
He's back? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah,
because I'm on a landline.
I dropped out because I pushed the wrong button.
Okay,
I think we can start.
Then I will mute the phone lines. Valerie, you didn't find your question? Valerie, are you here? I think Valerie also dropped out.
Muted.
Helen, do you have a question for tonight?
I just muted the phone lines. You're asking Don? Hold on, let me mute Don here first. Oh, Helen.
No. Helen and Don.
Okay, I resubmitted my question. I don't know if it got through or not. I tried typing in the address this time instead of the way I've been doing it.
How have you been doing it?
I was using the address off of an old question I submitted, and just clicking on the address, the link.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the address in your database?
What's a database?
Your address list.
What's that?
Well,
Don, is this a long question or a short one? No, you just told me.
That's what I told you. I just wanted to know how we can discern high-frequency communication from the sources. From they said in your book that, you know, that we tend to just see what's reflected off of our surroundings in 3D. So I was trying to see how we could discern higher frequency communications from our surrounding frequencies.
That's a good question.
All right, Valerie also came back. Hi, Valerie. Oh, she's muted. Hold on 1 second. see if she finds her question. Valerie? Hello, Valerie?
Hello?
You are unmuted.
Okay.
You probably muted yourself right now.
No, I hung up to find the email I sent, you know?
Okay. Did you find it?
Yes. I resent it.
Ben, are you checking on it?
Yep.
Maybe if you, next week, if you put the, send out an email with the address again, maybe I could try clicking on that.
No, I don't see Valerie's question. I see Isis's question. I see Prudence's question.
Oh, gosh.
So, Valerie, just quickly, what's your question? Your questions are always too long anyway, so now you have to make it short.
Oh, my God.
Art of brevity.
I'll get back to you, okay? Thanks.
You know, you can try resending it to winfree@yahoo, winfree@yahoo, and I might get it. You know?
All right.
All right. Wow.
Sorry.
Welcome, Shirley. Yeah, I muted.
Hi, Shirley.
That's the wrong one.
Now he's muting me. What am I going to do?
Sorry, yeah, no, because Valerie dropped out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get started. Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Really? Yeah, so good. Your phone's all charged and everything?
Well, I charged it. But I don't understand it enough yet to see if it's totally charged.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a way to look.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light, be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. We invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything, none of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present? I'm sorry if you're talking. I don't hear you.
Hello? Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Okay. I don't understand the system, but if it runs out of charge, I don't know. Anyway, anything out of that nature must be done. Give me a minute. We are here, and we are pleased to be with each and every one of you on this call on this Wednesday, the 31st of July, 2019, planet Earth. Mountain zone. If we ever say anything that does not make sense to you, disregard it, as it does not apply to you at that time. Sometimes people will ask a question, and it is your question, but the answers are different for each person. Everybody is an individual, and everybody is in some ways different, in some ways the same. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. Let's start out. What happens when a group ascends from one dimension to another? Well, let me ask the question right after that one. Are people going to ascend in groups? It's my understanding it's going to be an individual thing when we die.
It is an individual thing. It makes that journey, and each journey is a little different. So there can be incidents where many people pass over and ascend. And sometimes they can in some ways do it together, in that they are side by side. So what happens if a group ascends? Each one is individually transitioning and ascending from where they are at, from where their body was at. They can arrive at the same place, say, if they're going to ascend and are going to heaven, say, they can all arrive in the heaven realm. However, they are individually greeted, and they each have their individual journeys. We take a look and see if somebody is going straight to into, say, back into the Ra group or back into another group. It is like they then have a welcoming committee at that juncture. Say the Ra group has a group of people that can welcome them. Oftentimes, if they've gone back to the Ra group, they descended from the Ra group, and people will remember them from the Ra group and help to escort them into the proper framing and the proper group within the Ra group. But it is an individual journey in general.
If two people, most people are going to ascend when they die. So if two people are going to ascend together, it would mean they'd have to die together, yes?
Not necessarily. For instance, we think of one individual case where a lady was transitioning, and her sister kept appearing to her in spirit form and to help escort her and to welcome her back into the family group of people that were waiting for her. Escorting somebody back is not the same as say two people going together. If somebody is escorted back, they have traveler, say the spirit traveler that is working with them, say the sister in this case, was showing her the way back to where the group was waiting for her. Could you clarify your question?
Well, I'm talking about a group ascending. And its ascension happens really when you die. And this is not completely congruent with some of the things other people are talking about a rapture, a mass consciousness ascension. And our sources say it's an individual process. And a long time ago,
the video of people ascending that was played for you at East West Bookstore, there were individuals that would move up into the air like a child, and he would leave his body and move up into the air, and an adult would leave his body and move up into the air. That's individuals ascending, but each one has their own soul body, which is their vehicle for travel, which they ascend with.
At one point, how about two people who are lovers and have a very close energetic tie? What happens when one of them dies in a sense?
Well, we think of a case of where they're like it is possible that one individual and they die could to merge with the other individual and travel with the other individual as united.
While they're in the body, right? Same body.
That's correct. However, we do not recommend that necessarily as each has their individual experience that can lead to confusion.
It's like if two lovers do that and end up in the same body, then they can't really balance themselves, or can they?
It is hard because each one has had their individual experience and their individual thought process, and to establish it again as a couple could be very confusing.
Mm-hmm. Now, Isis says, when a group ascends in one dimension, is there any sort of ripple effect that affects all the other dimensions? Well, I don't think we should assume it's a group all the time. That is not what our sources are telling us. But
right.
When somebody ascends, is there a ripple effect?
They each ascend within their own individual bubble, their own individual vehicle for travel, which would be their soul, and they each ascend. And they do not merge, although they're all ascending at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, question from Michael Adler. Recently, there have been many instances around the planet of skies lighting up at night with different colors, blue, red, purple, etc. Some people claim it's plasma that is grounding itself to the Earth, and these colored lightning bolts seem to be intensifying. Is that it? If not, what is it, and what does it mean? Thank you.
There are energies that are moving particularly around Southern California at this time, they can cause lights in the sky or rainbow effect even in a clear sky. There are electrical phenomena that are bleeding off the Earth and are being projected into the sky projecting is not like a movie projector necessarily. It is more like a focusing of energy that is broken down into the wavelengths of the light. And it is electrical phenomena that is being projected from Earth. We look for a different word than projected. That is being moved from the Earth into a bleeding off into the atmosphere. And it shows up as different colors. Not that with the Earth, energies that are refocused from person into the sky and showing up in the sky or the clouds.
Now, I just want to double check. All of this stuff is natural phenomena. It's not related to ET phenomena. Yes?
No, natural phenomena. And it is a natural phenomena, whether it is triggered initially from some artificial source is another question, but by the time it is refocused into the sky, it is a natural phenomenon.
So it can be triggered by an artificial source, yes?
It could be triggered by an artificial source. The same as earthquakes can be triggered by an artificial source. Or it can be totally natural.
Okay. Next question here is from Antonio. And he says, can you shine some light on the origin of my hoarding? Was there some trigger event now or past life?
It is like not a trigger event, but it is a desire for havingness, for the presence of some manifestation in the physical universe of some mass or object that serves to give you solace. There is something there. And it would have a shape, and it would be an object, and it would make you feel more comfortable that there were objects there. And it doesn't have to be useful or something efficient. It can be something just an impulse to get it and to have it around. If it makes you uncomfortable, things to be around that you cannot use, you could replace something with another. So that if you wanted to upgrade the objects to be more useful and more pleasing, or there's artwork in objects at some point, which could be pleasing. And if you wanted to upgrade this, to choose one thing and think about it and look at it and see, is there some other object that I would like to have that would I would like better than this, or it would serve me better than this, so that you don't feel the loss when you would get rid of it, but you would have something else to replace it with at first. That is our initial comment on that.
Thank you. This is a question for me. It feels like those of us that are regulars on the call have reached a certain level, certain plateau, where we are consistently able to tune into each other. And in some of us tune into you or our sources. And it seems like that is an amazing accomplishment in of itself. But what is the next step, if there is one?
Well, the individual soul are in various stages of being able to sense the vibrations at a much higher level than the lower vibrations of the physical universe. And as one gets more used to how to do it, one can begin to set our frequencies and begin even perhaps to see the intersecting of our frequencies with your frequency, your individual soul frequency, and then begin to experience communication from us, or energies, or love, or even source data from us. It gets into Don's question, how do you tell the difference between the reflection of what is around you and the high frequencies of our presence? And this is kind of what they used to, expressing or exercising your sensory muscle. Like, you eventually get so that you can know that tuning a radio, you're in at the higher frequency. You're reading into the phone.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
I looked it up.
Okay. So, you sense it, it's there, whether you sense it or not. If you get so that you eventually are able to tune to our frequency, then you begin to recognize it. Like, you're listening to the radio station and you hear the call letters. The phone is needing a charge. I'm gonna have to somehow plug it in. Or no, it's the headset. It's needing a charge. Give me a minute to plug it back in. But does that answer Don's question?
I think it does. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Next question. All right.
Hello?
Yeah, Antonio, he asked a question. Antonio, it's not easy for Terry to answer a question like that without going into a deeper trance than she normally goes into.
Which
question? He says, can you tell me the time of day I was born in this life? I cannot locate my birth certificate, and I cannot drive. I will tell you, if you know the state that you were born in, they always will sell you a duplicate birth certificate for about $15.
But the birth certificates have that data.
Yeah, he's just saying he can't find his birth certificate and wants you to give it to him. And
we would suggest that you get in touch with the government officials in the city or the state with the board and ask if they can duplicate it.
Next question is, there was a time when there was a picture taken of me with a very turquoise blue orb on my elbow, which when I asked about it in a private session, they said it was the rod rope.
It was an individual from the rod rope.
An individual from the rod rope. And from his perspective, to me, he looks like a blue dot, a blue circle. What did it look like from his perspective?
He can see in all directions, 360 degrees, all the way around, and he can get bigger or small. He can stay status, or he can move. He can use vectors to move, vortexes by giving a vortex, creating a vortex. He can use that to propel himself. It takes some getting used to how to navigate from the spherical position, but it is delightful when one gets the hang of seeing in all directions.
Now, does the individual from the rock group have an astral body that was similar to a human body?
It may. The particular one that you have that came to you?
Mm-hmm.
He has the ability to morph into one.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, the rod groups are pure energy forms of or non-forms as opposed to body-looking forms.
It's a sphere.
A sphere.
It is one of the modes of operation, much like you have like water can form ice and be solid, can form liquid and run, and can form a gas and can run. And a person can assume many forms. They can assume a spherical form. It is a very good way to travel. And to see, they can sense and hear and have things that a normal person would be able to do, except they would have more ability to see in all directions instead of just straight ahead. They have sensory perceptions in all directions.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. This is a question from Jim Blayhut in New Jersey. I'm beginning to think the UFO phenomena is greatly misunderstood, focused on the object rather than the purpose. Considering non-terrestrial entities, my interest lies within a deeper understanding of that which separates the incarnate realm of humanity as compared to existence other than this condition, referred to herein as simply non-terrestrial. More specifically, within that which meets this definition, I am interested in those entities having expressed interest in connecting with incarnate humanity, both in the panel and in the present setting.
Both what?
Both in the past and the present day.
Can
He's interested in connecting with those entities, having expressed interest in connecting with incarnate humanity, both in the past and present. Considerable study in this matter was taken up by the efforts of Don Elkins and his team. He focused much of his attention on the little understood concept of varying densities of existence. He speculates that communications received by incarnate humans originated from beings not normally perceivable to us here on Earth. He further speculated that the connection between densities requires a shift in the energetic vibration to establish the necessary alignment for connection. It seems the necessity to do so has lessened, or at least now different, from the era of his study, namely the early 1960s and 70s, as compared to current time, if one considers the expectation of our planetary sphere moving into an energetic pattern of higher frequencies. Okay. In our current time, maybe there's a little more here. In our current time and circumstance, is it easier for non-terrestrial entities to contact incarnate humanity? In the decades past,
what is the definition of an incarnate here?
I guess human in a body. In the decades past, was it necessary to incorporate the existence of a physical mechanical vehicle, a craft, to connect with incarnate humanity? Considering the two-way connection that constitutes the sharing of messaging, is it correct that incarnate humanity as a whole is better adapted to make this connection now as well? Jim Blayhut. And, you know, Jim is making the assumption here that we want to connect with UFOs, and we want to make a connection with UFOs, and that's a positive thing. And he doesn't seem to be mentioning that as we have come across in our sessions in the past, that most ET contacts are service to self, beings, not service to other.
Yet the question has to do with Don Elkins' work and something to do with why it has shifted now, and that Don Elkins was connecting with we struggle with the word incarnate if it means somebody that is on the other side or not incarnated, not manifest. If they are on the other side and they may be considered extraterrestrial in, say, the fifth density, and it may be hard to contact them, but there has been some contact between individuals in this realm and in the higher densities. We seek for the clarification of this question. We see that if someone is contacting flying saucers, that there are different kinds of flying saucers, but the word incarnate is the clue for what he is asking, we feel. Are you at your computer? You could look up the word incarnate.
I think incarnate means someone that goes from a spirit form and takes on a body.
Somebody that is takes on a body form.
Yeah, a being in between lives is in an energy form in the astral or higher, and then when they take on a body, that would be incarnating.
Incarnating. Okay.
Yeah.
Give us a minute. So, could you rephrase the question concerning somebody that has to move from the non-physical into a manifestation in a body?
I can try. You know, it's a long question. I think Jim's thing is, how can we promote more ET contact? And wouldn't that be good? There's more potential for it now. And he's referring to the raw contact, I think, kind of as an ET contact.
Yes.
And even in the first book of the raw material, an ancient astronaut comes to give us their take on things. And Carla was never too pleased with that title. And she told me they just had to use it because they thought it would sell more books or publishing company. So Jim is looking for more contact with the ETs.
Which would be, say, the raw group, which again would be individuals that had formed the soul group of Ra, and one can get so that they sense frequencies that the Ra group hangs out at, and then to be able to explore those frequencies and see who within the Ra group they could contact. We're simply on this side for contact of some specific part of the Ra group that you would be interested in. Would it be some of the group that has esoteric knowledge that you could perhaps tap into? And we think then of the library on the other side of information, metaphysical information that one can tap into.
Okay. Someone lost me, but well, leave it at that. Let's see, it's 6:59. They're letting us run a little over because they were late. So let me see if we have another question here.
Did Valerie?
Okay, I got Valerie's question. Okay. I just read a story about how a shaman actually stopped a tornado. It said the shaman magnetically connected with a tornado and sucked the anger into his belly and then sent a good feeling of love, and so it stopped. Can you please explain more how this process works and how much more of us can maybe team in to do this sometime?
Thank you. That is a very clear explanation of how the shaman did that, and that is very real. Because the tornado is a spinning energy, so it has a consciousness, and tornadoes are, by their nature, very angry. So one can communicate with a tornado simply by tuning in and using oneself as a hearing sensing device and see what the tornado is about, and can then use vectors and vortexes to move energy from the tornado and to their own sphere and damp it as it comes in so that it could dissolve or transmute the tornado. That is entirely possible. We have Whole Planet Healing.
I think we got the questions for tonight, except Antonio's first question. So, Antonio, you can ask that again next week. And I think we can go to Whole Planet Healing. Hang on a second.
Thank you so much, Ra'an and Terry.
Unmuted.
Oh, bye-bye.
And Elohim.